Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of First Alliance Church in Lexington, Kentucky. The sermon you're about to hear is part of the series, The We Want to Be. It was delivered on February 23rd, 2020, by our pastor of outreach, Zach Meerkreebs.
My name is Zach Meerkreebs, and I am about 8 weeks into this role of out. And I am very excited to be with us this morning because this is what you hear in Ezekiel. Like, this is the fire caught up in my bones. Like, this is what I believe the church is about. Like, it is to be fed and to then go out. To go out. And we're going to talk about that today. And some of you guys come today and you're like, okay, we're going to have a sermon on evangelism. And we're going to have a sermon on mission. And all of a sudden, you just think about that mission trip you went on in middle school, and you just feel shame because you didn't lead anyone to the Lord on that trip, or you haven't ever led someone to the Lord, or you've never gone to the nations. And I just want to say, before we even get started, that's awesome. That's okay. That's why I'm here. I'm here to hopefully raise the water level with a team of people to equip and encourage us to go into the world. So if you have not yet felt equipped to go out into the world, you're good. So for us to sit here, and maybe we just need to like pause and pray and just let, like, Holy Spirit, like, would you search our hearts? Would you take things out, maybe lies spoken over us or spoken over evangelism in our hearts, and that we would just come to today with like a blank slate. A blank slate, okay? So I'm going to pray for us. And if you are sitting here and you're like, I'm not an evangelist, I don't know how to share my faith, or I'm just never going to go to Africa, sorry, Zach. Like, it's all right. Let's pray. If you need to, posture yourselves open-handed. Just let the Holy Spirit do its work so then we can explore God's word together, okay? So Jesus, thank you so much that you are King and that you are the great missionary in the story. Jesus, you left and came and preached the good news, and we are in the wake of that good news, that we are benefactors of that journey. And Jesus, I pray against any shame or guilt in Jesus' name. It has no place here. Intimidation, you have no room in our hearts in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus over this church, and we pray that you would send us into our cities, into our neighborhoods, that Wilmore and Nicholasville and Lexington and the surrounding cities and the region and the nation and the globe would feel the ripple effect of this church pursuing all three strategies. And we say this in your name. Amen. So we're in this series called The We Want to Be. This is the first time ever using slides in the sermon, so we'll see how this goes, The We Want to Be. I'm one for one right now. There's three strategies. Up, in, and out. Nice. Moving towards God in prayer and worship, in one another, discipleship, community, and out in the world and mission. And I want to say, like, the only way we can move in these movements, we can move in these strategies, and the only reason we're here, hopefully, is because of Jesus Christ. Amen? The only way we can move upward in relationship with God is because we've been reconciled to the God the Father through the cross of Jesus Christ. And the only way that we can move inward to one another and not just be a social club is because Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and what we center our community around. And the only reason we move out is because we're commissioned by Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, to go make himself known. We don't move out to be kind to our city. We don't move out so we can be nice and that we can be seen well in our city while we do things in our neighborhoods. We do this because we're commissioned by Jesus Christ, and that's the center of all the things. If you've come here for another reason, I would love to talk to you about that because it's Christ only, like what we saw in this video with our boy A.B. Simpson. So, for us to focus back on that or to remind ourselves, I'm going to do a quick illustration. This is an illustration I've done for a couple years. I don't know if I made it up, but it's actually in your insert as well. There's two things in your connector The first side is the gospel on the table, and this is an illustration. I've done this in Starbucks. I've done this with my kitchen table. I've done this in student centers, and you just need a table and some chairs, okay? And you're going to push over some chairs, and people are going to be freaked out. Just ask the Starbucks. I do push over chairs, but I'm in good company. Jesus pushes over things. Bible joke. What's up? All right, let's get started. Okay, I love food. If you can tell, I love food. I grew up Jewish too. We love food. And that's a true thing, Orthodox Jew. The table is a perfect illustration of intimacy to me. Okay, I don't remember a whole lot preached from a stage. No offense, T or Paul. But I do remember lots of things that have been told to me around a dinner table or a coffee table. It was the first place I heard the gospel was at a Starbucks table, okay? Starbucks is holy. So, preach! Table, okay? And at this table, we see God and humanity. This will be God, the three, and this will be humanity, okay? And the story of God is this, that we had perfect intimacy with God, no sin in the garden, Adam and Eve walking naked, totally vulnerable with God, okay? Like a dinner table. And then what happens? Don't be scared, okay? The fall. Sin enters into the story, and we get kicked out of the garden. We get kicked out of perfect intimacy. And it breaks the Lord's heart, but we then are on the search, okay? And some of you guys are on the search right now, that you have not experienced intimacy with God in a long, long time. Or maybe you're here and you think church attendance will get you intimacy with God. And I would tell you that the only thing that will get you intimacy with God is Jesus Christ saving your soul and the Holy Spirit living inside of you, okay? So this is the search. This is the Old Testament, okay? This is the Old Testament. They get close to Jesus with a covenant with Abraham, and then they screw it up. And then my boy Moses, okay? Moses sees God's backside, actually. And he starts shining, get close to Jesus, but then they back with God, and they make idols. So they go back onto the search. And then you read the judges, and it's just like back and forth, right? Each judge is doing something different, right? So we're here. And then after the search, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. Is that good news? Amen. So then incarnation, he becomes a chair. He leaves the table, and he ministers to us. He ministers to us. He loves us. He tells us that there's so much more for us, that we just can live in him, okay? And then what happens? The crucifixion, the cross. He dies. If this has gotten old to anyone, I'm going to pray for you. We don't recover from the cross. On 3 days later, he rises again. He ministers to his people. And he goes back to heaven, back by his Father. But he leaves us with an invite. Would you come back to the table? Would you come back to the table? And if you're here and you're with Jesus, if you need this reminder, you are sitting at the table. You're not sitting at the kids' table. You're not sitting on the couch because you're in trouble. You are at the table. But the whole story of out is we are the dinner bell of heaven. That the meal is good, it tastes real good, and the host is saving you a seat. That's the role of the church. That's the role of the church. Up is the host at the table and the meal. In is the community around the table and the conversation. And out is saying, hey, we saved you a seat. That's what the table means. So Would if the only thing you learn today or hear from us today is just a reminder of how good the gospel is, you can tune out your ears. Paul said, we do not need to sacrifice depth for the sake of width, and yet we will not lie to ourselves believing we are deep spiritually when we might not care for the lost. That is a good word. Our depth is experiencing the richness of the meal and the gift of the company of our host and those around the table. But we also need to tell people about how satisfying this meal is, how delicious it is, and that the host is saving them a seat. So this reality gets me to this point. We've been talking about our big picture, own it, okay? And I included, let's own our out, because it matters. Let's own our out. Your individual out. That's what today is about, because this is the foundational truth. You are a missionary everywhere, all the time. You, not just me, not just our brothers in Tunisia, working with the other group, working with the Kurds, whoever you want to talk about, you are a missionary everywhere, all the time. Now, you might say, whoa, 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 we outsource that stuff. We laugh. But I think Satan would love if we just outsourced that stuff. T. Wright beautifully taught us last week. We cannot be more different, bro. It's so awesome. He's so smart, and I'm. We will pursue Jesus individually so that we can be Jesus collectively. I want to kind of flip this. I say that we will be a church on mission collectively by living on mission individually. If you are relying on me to program all of your outward expression, I will let you down, and it won't be biblical. We will be a church on mission because we have a bunch of missionaries gathering every Sunday. If all of our outward expression is located in the church, or programmed and put on by our church, we are doing something wrong. We are a gathering of individuals moving up, in, and out. So what does this community look like? This is something that's been on my heart for a long, long time. If you don't know, I planted a church about 10 minutes up the street. I'm now on staff here. New City is doing tremendously well. That's the church we planted. And we were working towards this community that understood that we were all sent, that we equipped everyone, and we allowed our hearts to break. We allowed our hearts to break. The first concept is that we are sent. One of my favorite authors and speakers right now is a guy in Portland, and he uses this concept of apprenticing with Jesus, apprenticing in the way of Jesus. And what does apprentices do? What? They work with the master. They're teachable. Yeah. Another one? Learning. Is that what we heard? Yeah. Awesome. So if we're apprenticing with Jesus, Jesus, in fact, was a sent God. For God so loved the world, He sent His one and only Son. He lived sent. And we see this, and a community living out understands we're sent. John 17, they are not of this world, just as I'm not of this world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me, this is His identity, the one who we're apprenticing with, so I have sent them into the world. John 20 and 21, when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. It's beautiful. They experienced the gospel. They realized He was real. And what was their response? Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me." Once again, Jesus' identity. "Even so, I am sending you." I love this. A good friend of mine who's a pastor in town, he was praying for our message. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the church in Lexington? Like when churches cheer each other on, that would be neat. John 3:16, we all know that, right? Tim Tebow plastered that on his eyes, right? "For God so loved the world, He sent His one and only Son." We know that. Well, because of John 3:16, we can live in 1 John 3:16. And let's read it together. "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." We're a people that know we are sent. Now, the next one is something I'm extremely passionate about. A community living out equips everyone. Equips everyone. And I see this as kind of twofold. First, equips. The community on mission understands we equip all people, not just the professionals. As leaders, T and I and the pastors of this church, we are not here to be the professionals. Now, we would understand this a lot when it comes to discipleship. We understand that we have to read our Bibles and pray, right? And that T can't just go to everyone's living room every morning and do that for you. But when it comes to out, sometimes we act that way. My job is to equip all people for the work of ministry. Ephesians 4:11 and 12, it says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip who? The saints." Who are the saints? You. For the work of ministry. It does not read that he gave these gifts to be the pros in the church to build up the body of Christ. He says to equip the saints for the work of ministry. If our efforts here on staff do not raise the water level of up, in, and out, then we have failed. It's just raising the water level. It's not being the professionals. Now, I also want to say everyone equips everyone. I'm in my office a lot. You are in the hospitals. You are in the schools. You are on your street. You are in the coffee shops, in the dorms, in your apartment complexes. You all have unique gifts. You all have unique passions. You all have unique proximity with people that I will never rub shoulders with. That's why we equip all people. I've seen this so beautifully already in about 2 months. We have people leading their neighbors to Christ in their living room. We have people speaking at recovery ministries on Thursday nights. We have middle schoolers baking and decorating cakes to encourage people. And we have our sister Jacqueline doing monologues and sharing the gospel. This is happening. So if we are equipping all people, all the saints, I want to challenge you, go forth and get a latte and meet your barista. Ask them about their lives. Go forth and talk to your coworker about their mom who just passed away and offer to pray. Or parents, go forth, put down your phone, and minister to your kids. Don't rely just on Tanner and Dan. We are equipping all people for the work of ministry. We are missionaries everywhere, all the time. And this is something I'm extremely passionate about because I believe this is one of the most toxic things the church can do, and I think the church in the West is like well infiltrated by this. The elevation of one person, a place, or project can paralyze individuals, you and I, and keep us from living on mission. When we elevate a person, well, they do this. They went there. Or a place. Well, like Africa. When I was early in my faith, like everything was moving to Africa, it felt like, right? Or a certain project, then people in our seats right in front of me are paralyzed to live on mission. Guys, I honor and give thanks to those who have worked and gone to the darkest places of this world. I do. That's my wife and I's heart. The Lord keeps us in Kentucky. I thank God for those who are sent to the nations and are doing the hard work in the trenches. But when we elevate them, then living as everyday missionaries feels like JV. Feels like junior varsity. And the life of a missionary just feels a little bit too much out of reach. And I want to tell you guys, the enemy of our souls, Satan, would love for you to sit. Would love for you to feel ashamed. Would love for you to feel intimidated. The enemy of our souls in the boardroom down in hell would love if we just relied on the pros. They would love it. But Jesus, knowing what was about to happen, knew that he could not keep the message of God, the power and proclamation of the kingdom at hand. He could no longer keep that residential in Israel in his flesh. And that's why he left. And what did he do when he left? He promised something. The Holy Spirit. And what would we do with the Holy Spirit? greater things. He knew he could no longer be residential in Israel. He needed to fill every believer with the Spirit, with the power and proclamation to go and make him known. So guys, I believe Satan is very real. And Satan will not be intimidated by this church if we just rely on programs. We need to be mobilized. He is not shaking in his boots until we notice and take up our cross and live as everyday missionaries. So a community understands we're sent. A community living out equips everyone. And last but not least, a community that living out lets their hearts break. Lets their hearts break. I got to finish my undergrad at Indiana Wesleyan in Israel. And it was a joy. And one of my favorite places in all of Israel was this little church on the Mount of Olives overlooking the city. You can see that beautiful window is overlooking. You can kind of see the Dome of the Rock. And it's the building is in the shape of a tear. And this church is called Dominus Flevit. And I'm going to totally butcher these Latin words, but videns Jesus civitam flevit super illum. This is the concept that it came from. And that's Latin for when he came near, he beheld the city and wept over it. This church is in the shape of a teardrop, reminiscing or remembering this moment, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture, in Luke 19. Now let me paint this picture. Luke 19 is the triumphal entry. And when we think about the triumphal entry, we kind of think of a parade, right? You see leaves. You have people cheering Jesus' name, cheering Hosanna. They think that it's all happening. And all of a sudden, Jesus loses it. He weeps. Imagine if you were all at my birthday party and all of a sudden I just lost it, like snotty, ugly cried. He stops, and with the sight of Jerusalem in the physical and the insight of what's going to happen to Jerusalem in his head and his heart, he stopped and wept over his city. And he cried out, if you only knew, if you only knew. His heart was broken. And because of that known reality of what's going to happen to Jerusalem, and because of his known reality of what would happen in the world even today, he went to the cross. A community on mission has holy heartbreak for their people and their place. If you need help with this, meet with a parent whose child isn't following the Lord. Like, that's holy heartbreak. And guys, I want to pastor us for a second. A heartbreak, a holy heartbreak does not result in fear or despair. When we're broken and afraid and heartbroken for where the culture is at, we do not respond in fear. Parents, do not respond in fear, because the Bible says we do not have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Jesus in John 16 says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. And guys, we've read the end of the story, most of us, right? We win. So when our heart breaks for our city, our heart breaks for our culture, our heart breaks for what's going on in the world, let's remember the spirit that's inside of us, the posture we have towards the world. We must let our heart break and weep over something. So this is kind of broad, right? This is broad. A community living out, sent, equips, heartbreak. What do we do now? On my first day of work here, I was reminded of this quote from The Patriot. Very spiritual. The Patriot, there's this really beautiful moment that Mel Gibson is teaching his son how to shoot a gun. And he keeps on saying, aim small, miss small. Aim small, miss small. And as I was walking up to my office my first day, I was reminded, Zach, aim small, miss small. Everyday missionaries are on mission with the little things. So let's start there. Bob Goff, one of my favorite authors. Anyone else? If you're taking yourself too serious, just read Bob Goff. Bob Goff says, instead of calling it mission, why not call it Tuesday? It's a good word. If Bob Goff was here, I would give him a high five. I want to introduce five postures that I don't know where they came from. I think I've stolen them from some really smart people. But these are the five postures of personal mission, and these are actually in your handout. My prayer is that these would serve us well. Now, this whole thing starts not with a P, but a G, because I couldn't find a P word for gratefulness. Everything in our personal mission has to start from a gratefulness. It has to start from how rescued you are. I ask this question, has this gotten old to anyone? You might have followed the Lord now for 50 years. Has your rescue gotten old to you? Or maybe this morning, you just decided to give church a chance. I pray that this never gets old to you. I want to share this story of a dear friend of mine when it comes to gratitude. His name is Dilip Joseph. I got to go to Afghanistan with Dilip Joseph early in my journey as I was exploring world missions or the church or things like this. And Dilip Joseph was one of the most well-known brain surgeons in the nation. He had gone to all the right schools, and he had all the right initials at the end of his name, okay? And he would go to the nations, after giving his life to Christ, he would go to the nations and train medical workers to do surgeries and procedures. And I got to be in Kabul, Afghanistan with him. And then a couple years later, he was in Kabul, and he was kidnapped by the Taliban. He was kidnapped by the Taliban, and he tells this story that all of a sudden, all those letters at the end of his name didn't matter a whole lot. The Ivy League school that he went to didn't matter a whole lot to the 18-year-old that was holding him captive. And in fact, 12 days later, a heroic mission of the Navy SEALs rescued Dilip Joseph. And after about 6 months of debriefing with the government and with different counselors, I got to grab coffee with my friend Dilip, and I said, Dilip, what's different now? What's different now? And I was thinking he was going to say, like, I'm afraid to drive, or I'm never going to go back to the Middle East. What he said is, I'm no longer Dilip Joseph, MD. I am Dilip, the kid or the guy that was rescued. That's you. Hand over your resume, y'all. Praise God for all that you've done and all you've given and all of you've learned. But God will do a mighty move in our city when we hand over our resumes and just rely on our rescue. How rescued are you? This is a silly question. We're all the same amount. I'm a Jewish kid, grew up Orthodox Jew. After my bar mitzvah, that let me down, so I started selling a lot of drugs. Then I was introduced to Jesus, and I was rescued. I'm no more rescued than the kid that grew up in the church since they were three and gave their life to Christ at VBS, named Kristen Meerkreeves, my wife. You're rescued, and all this mission, everything on out, is going to happen when we realize how rescued we are and we hand over our resumes. We see this perfectly by maybe the most successful missionary in the history of the church, Paul. And in one of his last letters to a young man that he was discipling named Timothy, he said, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me in his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, for whom I'm the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who would believe in them for eternal life. This is Paul reminiscing, remembering his rescue. Though formerly I was a blank, I received mercy. The grace of the Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. What would you fill in your blank? Though formerly I was an angry, angry, bitter man. Though formerly I was lustful and Though formerly I was a liar, you received mercy if you're rescued in Christ Jesus, because grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Would you meditate on this? So everything is rooted on our gratefulness. Turn over your resume, rely on your rescue. Let's get into these postures, okay? There's five postures, and these are on the little handout because I know the slide is almost too small for anyone to read in the whole world. The first one is prayer. And this is a kind of prayer that I want to remind us. This is intercession. This is intercession. What is the name for the Holy Spirit when he was introduced? Sorry? The advocate? The helper, right? We experience this in our intercession, guys. The Holy Spirit is such a better convincer and mover of people's hearts. This is something I've had to come to deep realization with. I'm the only Christian in my family. And I would not be able to handle the burden if I was not a praying person for my mom. Because the Holy Spirit is a way better convincer and evangelist than anyone in this room. And guys, one thing I have loved about this church, I've been here for 2 months about, is we are a praying church. We are a praying church. And I pray that we would intercede for our cities. They would intercede for our coworkers. They would intercede for our region. Guys, we have I wouldn't normally do this, but we have a prayer night on March 2nd. And it has been one of I've gone to two because I've only been here for 2 months. They are amazing. They are amazing. And we now have childcare. So young folks, you don't have an excuse. You don't have an excuse. And in fact, if you cheered that we had childcare, they need volunteers. So we have a camera, and we've got all picture of your faces. No, I'm just kidding. Someone literally is like, mm-mm, Zach, you're still new here. Let's go. Come to that prayer night. Intercede. That's our first posture. The second posture is passions, okay? Some of you guys have passions that are so different than the person sitting next to you. In fact, like, I don't like board games. I do not like board games. Some people in this room love board games. And you know who also loves board games? Lost people. Some of you like a certain drink that's made in Kentucky. And there's people that maybe wouldn't go to your church, but would sip on that certain drink made in Kentucky. Do you guys understand? But we also have passions for certain places. My wife and I lived a block from a very dangerous park downtown. We got our car and our house broken into multiple times, but we were passionate for the West 6th area, for the Coolivan area, and we wanted to be the first to know when there was a shooting. We needed to be the first to know when there was a single mom in a domestic dispute. We wanted to be the first to know. That is our passions. What are your passions that you're uniquely given for gospel presence, for gospel movement? From passions, we have proximity. Proximity is shoulder to shoulder. Who do you rub shoulders with that I would never rub shoulders with? If you don't know, I'm not a mom. So I can't minister to moms in the same way that you moms can do. I don't have an elementary school kid. So I'm not going to run into elementary school teachers and people in the drop-off. I don't like racquetball. You guys, you know what I mean? We have a guy who has hundreds on his Facebook page, and they play pickup soccer on a regular basis. He has proximity with so many people from so many nations on a weekly basis. This is what our missionaries are working so hard to do, to open doors, to acquire fields. And this guy is doing it by a Facebook group saying, hey, we'll go play pickup soccer. This is proximity. But if we only have proximity, if we only rub shoulders, then we've missed out. So we need to move from proximity, shoulder to shoulder, to eye, and that's presence. That's your barista not only knowing your favorite drink, but you knowing their name and that their mom is battling cancer, and you offer them prayer whenever you go pick up your drink. That's eye to eye. It's going from a smile and a wave from to the lady who checks you in at your gym, to pausing and asking how they're doing after a tough weekend. Bring them a smoothie, because everyone loves smoothies. Guys, moving from proximity to presence could be your step as living out. It's going from a wave to your neighbor to knowing exactly what they need this week. And then when you move from presence to proclamation, that's heart to heart. So we go shoulder to shoulder, eye to eye, heart to heart. And that's the proclamation of the good news of this story. Remember how it all started. It's all around Jesus, right? It's all around Jesus. Now I want to share that this proclamation is a marriage between showing and sharing. And we have a generation that has been very comfortable with sharing, but haven't done a great job at showing. Okay? You know who you are. My generation is real comfortable with showing. Real comfortable with that Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. And it usually is never necessary to use words, right? And we, millennials, need to get better at the bold proclamation that people will lead people from going from death to life. So proclaiming. I sat with our friends Ed and Julie a couple weeks ago who were sent to kind of facilitate and coach the ministries in the Middle East and Europe for the CMA. And Ed's job is kind of traveling from team to team to coach and encourage. And he was moved by the reality that he had to remind almost every team that they needed to still preach the gospel. They had spent years and years trying to acquire the field, but they had forgotten that they were supposed to scatter the seed. Would we not forget that? So my challenge for you today is, how can you spend some time in these five P's of personal mission? Is it going from shoulder to shoulder to eye? Is it becoming an intercessor for your people? And guys, when I was preparing this message, I was feeling like really led to just pause and pastor a couple groups in our church, okay? The first one are those who are sitting here and you're like, this is a little bit too much, y'all. Like, I am real busy. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a missionary. I want to challenge you guys. Like, we know. We know how you feel. And we're praying. When this is intimidating to you or this feels a little bit too much too soon, I want to say that the Holy Spirit that's in you is the same Holy Spirit that lives in me. That we're not in the business of giving everyone whiplash in this church. But just like PT, you know, when you've had an injury and you haven't used a muscle for a while, sometimes it creaks a little bit, right? When I did my knee, it took a little bit. It hurt to start moving muscles again, and that could possibly be what's going on. But we're going to keep on moving those muscles, y'all. And some of you also might be intimidated by the fact that a kid who plants church and tattoo shops is now on staff at First Alliance Church, okay? Nice. She said, thank you, Lord. I'm like, yes. Guys, I want to tell you, Jesus never sacrificed his position, but he always was submitted to the Spirit in his posture. This church will not sacrifice our positions, our biblical positions on what sin is and what sin is not, and what the role of the church is and what the church is not. But we better stay submitted to the Spirit and let him guide us in our postures. And when you change your posture to this world, outsiders won't stay out. They'll come sit next to you. But we need to change our postures. Now, the second group, I want to encourage or maybe challenge or those who maybe would roll closer to me, right? That you're like, down with the system, let's hit the streets. I want to tell you, the Lord has rebuked me. The Lord has rebuked me that I would come and do something like that. Because the Lord delights in movements, not individuals. It starts with these little pockets that will move together. But like T said, yesterday, last Sunday, John 15, that we would remain and abide in him, that we, those who are so excited to reach the people, that we would pause and be more vine-focused than fruit-focused. And then third, but not certainly not least, are the people that I'm extremely excited for, and you might be here and you've never ever heard this gospel thing. And we want to start assuming that you might be here. We've been praying for you. We've been declaring to our city that there's open seats. So if you have never heard the gospel before, this is all real. This is not a sales pitch. I experienced it. It's changed my life. And maybe you're here and you're sick of church, and this is your first time back at church for a while. This is what we're about. We're not about cash. We're not about full seats. This is what we're about. This is why we're here. And if you need to give church another chance, let's just focus on Jesus together. Let's just focus on Jesus together. So in closing, I want to pray a prayer of commissioning. And this is a prayer of commissioning, guys. This is not a cute pat on the back, let's go have a good week, y'all. Okay? So if you'd like, there's no pressure. You can posture yourselves. You could be facing out the door. You can go stand by the window. Don't freak anyone else out. You can be standing up. You can just open up your hands. I'm going to invite Zeke up here. You guys have a worship song after me? It would be beautiful. So what do you posture yourselves for a prayer of commissioning? Jesus, we have been given the greatest news in the world. The best news in the world. That you left the throne room and you came and you died for us. Or maybe some of us need to hear for me, for you. And Jesus, I pray that you would send us today. That you would break our hearts. Give us names to pray for, to intercede on behalf of. Remind us of those who we rub shoulders with, that we might have a unique opportunity to share the gospel with them one day. One day. It might not be this week. It might be 2 years from now. But would we celebrate the shoulder rubs? And those who we have eye-to-eye contact with, would we not just think we're going to be really good friends? Jesus, I remember when I was 16 and I heard the gospel for the first time and how frustrated I was that no one had ever told me. So Jesus, would you remind us, those who are ready for that eye-to-eye, for that conversation to move to proclamation? And Jesus, in all of this, it's all rooted in you, the news that you died on the cross, and then the gift you gave us, our advocate, our helper, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And we pray, like in Ephesians 5:18, that we would not be drunk on wine, but continuously filled with the Holy Spirit, that we would be sent out. Give us pace, give us patience, but give us boldness. Send us and spend us. We're surrendered to you. And we all said, amen.
Thanks so much for listening. Here at First Alliance Church, we love God, love others, and live fully engaged in Christ's Great Commission starting in Lexington, Kentucky. To learn more about our church or to hear other great sermons like this one, visit us at faclex.com.